If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 378. This is our 2025 RSM Classic Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanran and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss 2025's final PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website, where we have my in-depth betting preview for the RSM Classic. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have seaside course strokes gained rankings, detailed seaside course form, player form and combi sheets, plus new and old predictor models for the PGA Tour action this week. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall or registration required. We are available on X. You can follow us. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. On Blue Sky, search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week, of course. Like the show and comment for the algorithm. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Now, I said last week, whoever took their time to send a review in would get read out pre-Christmas, being our last show this week. And Rich K. Atkinson from New Hampshire in the United States took the time. So thank you, Rich. Entitled, theme song, 5 stars. I cannot get this theme song out of my head, 'cause it's so true. Also, Barry needs to man up and stop following Paul and Steve's picks. And also, Barry needs to clue us in on his last minute off-air picks that hit. Love the show. And just busting on the Irishman. Rich K, thank you for your time. Barry, what can you say? I had to look up on Google what busting, B-U-S-T-I-N, actually meant.
Yeah. You probably got some dodgy websites, Steve. In my defense to Paul's accusations,
Rich,
Rich,
keep Paul out of this.
I've got the bit between my teeth now. Steve and Paul actually copy my picks off air beforehand. That's the real truth. Yeah. They don't do any work themselves. It's all me. I guess it's the alignment and where we are is probably a little bit of echo chambering because we're always together, but also because we're seeing the same things that should click that week. And so the chances of you having a couple of players in the Venn diagram between all our heads is pretty similar. Mm-hmm. Full honesty, last week I did put a last minute bet on Kanaya because I'd backed him a couple of weeks previously. I saw somebody else, another tipster on Twitter, put it down, and I went, do you know what? That's a signal I need to back him one more time. And hey, I got the full place, which was nice.
What price was he?
But I think I got about 10-1 back in the place. 9-1 or 10-1 back in
so
the
yeah,
place.
So yeah, he's mid fifties, yeah. Fifties.
Yeah, 45 or 50. Yeah, I think it was like 40. Yeah, because like I took 10 places.
Yeah.
So
makes sense in that week.
It was fine. So it was we'll move. Before we move on to last week, is there any other reviews? I thought you said you had one.
Wow.
Big whopper one.
A whopper. I have.
I've been waiting
now,
for this.
What listeners, Paul, Barry, you need to settle down. Get comfortable in your chair. And I've literally got about 17 cups of tea here.
Grab your coffee.
Because there's going to be a lot of talking, a lot of pronunciations, Barry, as well. Right, this is from La Lapine Noir from Bracknell. I think Bracknell's in Berkshire. Might get that wrong. Royal County of Berkshire. And he has sent this mammoth review, which is actually over two screens. So bear with me. Right, here we go. Greetings and welcome to the 6-star Golf Betting System podcast review. This is our 2025 in-depth research podcast review and is for listeners of 18 holes and above. Each week during the season, Steve Boycey Bamford is joined by Paul DP World Williams and the molasses-voiced Barry O'Hanrahanrahan to pick apart both the PGA Tour and DP World Tour to make all their listeners rich. Cough. This podcast is available free of charge. It is not behind a paywall and is overseeded with wry wit. Listen each week as Steve pulls apart the week's weather forecast and course agronomy and then wrestles with pronunciation of such golfers' names as... Right, are you ready, chaps? Right, let's get this right. Hideki Matsuyama, Mito Pereira, Andale, Arriba, Joaquin Neiman, Sudarshan Yelamarahaju. He's playing, don't forget, next year on the PGA Tour, chaps. But not T4 Tony nor Jordan Smith. Before putting his money on Scottie Scheffler again at odds on. Guffaw as this Goliath, literally, he's about 6'10", of golf betting puts another pro on his post-it note of doom, which is so large now it covers most of his computer monitor. Marvel how Paul Williams discusses the last 300 years course form, tournament trends and key stats for an open event on the Indian subcontinent. How does he find the time for this, or the data, let alone have the motivation? But thankfully, he does. Be amazed as syrup-voiced Barry decides to do all his research while the pod is being recorded, then have yet another punt on Rory or Shane, but certainly no one at odds lower than 100-1. That's no fun. So, are you dog tired of paying your accountant's fees? Your turf accountant's, that is. Listen to the Golf Betting System podcast, act accordingly, and have your turf accountants pay you instead. What can you say? That is a work of art.
It's amazing.
Fantastic stuff. Well done, Lapin. That's very, very good.
Lapin Noir from Bracknell. Thank you very much.
The Black Rabbit. It's very, very good show as well, actually, if anybody hasn't watched it on Netflix. Thank you so much for that review. That is fantastic. That's one of the best things I've heard.
Molasses voiced Barry, that's an interesting description.
I think that's gone on my business card.
Oh, brilliant stuff. More of those, please, listeners. Very
Paul,
good indeed.
Paul finds data. Let alone, has he got the motivation? Be thankful that he does. Yeah. Right, last week. We did say, didn't we, that we thought it was going to be a super tight tournament, the DP World Tour Championship. And it certainly proved that way. From a betting perspective, Paul, we had Nicolai Højgaard, didn't we? And he was the 36-hole leader.
By three, yeah.
Who then decided to... Was he three over par through six on Saturday or something ridiculous?
I just seem to lose the ability to part the number of 5-6 footers that went begging on Saturday that could have just kept him, a plodding along round where he might have ended up one or two under and would have kept him right in the
He'd probably still led, wouldn't he? Or would have been right or tied for the lead, something like that.
Yeah. It wouldn't have taken a massive amount, but I don't know. The body language just seemed really off on Saturday, which was odd given how well he'd played on Friday. I mean, round of the day on Friday, as I say, 3 clear going into the halfway point, and to drop even out of the each way places by the end was, not what I expected, I must say.
Sunday, just a shootout, wasn't it, between some of the tour's best players. Fleetwood was up there. Fitzpatrick had kind of control, standing on 18-tee, hit 3-wood. You had Agile Arroyo making a last ditch, storm up the leaderboard to try and get one of these top 10 places, as was Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. I'm sure I've forgotten a couple that were at the top of the... Rasmus Højgaard finished like a train, didn't he? It was just action everywhere.
Yeah, Ludvig Åberg was up there towards the end, and Rasmus Højgaard to a certain extent, but just finished outside the places in the end. So, yeah, lots of names up there. Lots of names.
Yeah, but then you get the eagle from Rory on 18. I mean, that's just box office.
Well, yeah.
I thought that was it. Thought we were going to get our win. I backed him win only. Yeah, Rich, I did. I backed him win only. I was happy to do it. I thought that was it. That's the moment. There we go. Bang. And then that was kind of a bit of a letdown in the playoff.
Mm. Yeah.
But ultimately, he doesn't care that he didn't win that tournament. Okay, yeah, he'll think about it for 5 minutes. But he got the season long title, which was the primary goal.
Yeah, I expect it will sting a little bit, not massively. As you say, there was, the seventh title there, the pictures afterwards with the missus and Poppy, and lots of smiles. I just wonder if he, ultimately at the point he got to, two ahead, standing on the 12th tee, odds on to win. I looked at the options to bail out at that point. It was too expensive for me to choose to do that, because I thought Rory was going to go on and win it. So I left it alone, and of course that comes back and bites you on the backside.
That was extra expensive.
It was ultimately expensive. The eagle on the last shades of the K Club there with the when it absolutely matters, Rory can pull that pull the shots out to enable him to get to a point of making the eagle, and then nailed a putt, which was fantastic. Going into the playoff against Matt Fitz, Rory's got a massive advantage on that 18th hole. Because, the length that he's got, the history that he's got on that hole, the ability to play that hole in an aggressive fashion. And, having seen Fitz go into the rough on the left, any kind of fairway, and he wins that tournament. And he manages to split the two fairways straight down the middle into the water.
So that's it. Like, if he aims at the water, he's never making it. But it's just... or maybe that's what he was. He's like, if I aim at the water, I'm never going to hit the water. I'll go right or left to it.
Slap bang center water.
Again,
any shot, any one of those shots in the playoff, if there's one good shot in that playoff from Rory, then he either ties it and they go to second hole, or he wins the tournament. So even the approach, once he's taken his penalty drop, he's got a chance to stick it on the green. The bunker shot, tough bunker shot, but if he gets that close, he gets a chance in another hole. The putt's the putt
to the hole.
Yeah. He's left it in the jaws 6 inches out. It's, frustrating. I mean, it probably bothers me more than it does him, so, and you, I guess.
Yeah, but it sounds like it.
I wouldn't know what to do, Barry, if I came in on a Monday or Tuesday morning without having something to moan about.
I think it's worth 30 seconds on Fitzpatrick as well. I mean, he has had a horrible time of it. He hadn't won on a main tour since the 2023 Alfred Dunhill Links. Last win in the States, even now, 2023 RBC Heritage. So he's had over 2 years without a main tour victory. And let's be frank, for most of the year, we a lot of people were saying that there's no way Fitzpatrick makes the Ryder Cup team. And then he just, in the summer, started to find his game. So fair play to Matt, I think. shouldn't be over egged that, the fact that he's come out and won the DP World Tour Championship, his first pro win for over 2 years. So well played to Fitzy, I think.
But honestly, like earlier in the year, I don't think we were far wrong by saying he wasn't in the form that should have had him on the Ryder Cup.
Oh, no winning. Because no winning.
Until, what, the end of April, he'd won, tied 22nd. Everything else was miscut or midfield, which is just useless. And then, God, if you look, just looking at his run of results from Data Golf here, particularly since the Travelers in June, it's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, so good. And I, you know, kind of that's the icing on the cake for him, was to get that tournament win that validates all the really good form he had that got him on the Ryder Cup and had him being one of the stars of the week as well. So yeah, it's fair play to him. That is some turnaround.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's really now good. Up to 10th on the Data Golf rankings. Between Spawn and McIntyre. Yeah, modernising the pod, not mentioning the world rankings, just talking Data Golf.
Well, what do you guys think was going to happen? Do you think Liv will finally get ranking points now? It may be 72 holes is not the only thing hoop they need to jump through, but it certainly seems like a step in the right direction. And
yeah,
I guess probably, I don't know, I don't play tournament golf that involves 4 days of competition, but surely playing your regular cadence of tournaments as four rounds of golf will somewhat, you know, not affect them badly when it comes to majors. Maybe there's nothing to it at all, but even if it's 1%, then having their regular tournament golf being four rounds of golf is a good thing for the guys who are on live.
I think it takes away one of the real barriers to them being on the OWGR, the fact that they were quoting it's only 54 holes. The one point that they're still going to quote is that it's such a closed group of professionals. 54, isn't it?
54, but they've opened up a few little avenues now. Seems to be moving that way.
They
do have qualifying and the like.
Yes, and this is the point. They've got relegation, they've got promotion opportunities. It's not as closed as perhaps it was at the very start. There have been strides that have been made towards standardising it, I guess, in comparison to some of the other tours. And ultimately, these players are going off and playing other events to try to bump up their world ranking points so that they can appear and play in some of the events. So by the very fact they're trying to circumvent the system suggests that the system's wrong. So, yeah, you know, at this point, everyone's observed what's happened over the last few years, and you know, perhaps it's time that everything's relented and world ranking points are awarded in an appropriately, you know, commensurate fashion, I guess, and we push on from there.
Yeah, Stenson has paid us. I just read this morning. Stenson has paid his fines of about £1 million. So to the DP World Tour. So whether he goes for the LIV qualification event in January or not remains to be seen, but he's, I guess, fully free to go to play DP World Tour now. Yeah. Maybe I'm sure he's got one or two lifetime exemptions or you know, career longevity exemptions that he can use to get his card.
Yeah.
So maybe he tries both prongs, tries the LIV qualification, but then I think the elephant in the room is the Tyrrell Hatton and John Rahm hearings that are supposed to happen. Who knows what's going to come from that, but that's the one where if that goes against what we'd like as fans, then it's going to be hard to have Tyrrell Hatton and John Rahm on the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, still messy, but I don't know. We'll see where it gets to. It's been going on too long now, and ultimately, as golf fans and golf observers, I think we're being robbed of being able to see and enjoy some of the best players in the golf play against each other on a more regular occurrence. And
It's interesting to compare the OWGR and the Data Golf rankings. So Scheffler 1, McIlroy 2, Xander 3, Fleetwood 4. Henley 5. That's the world rankings as we record this. Go to Data Golf Rankings. Scheffler 1. Fleetwood 2. Rory 3. John Rahm 4. Ben Griffin 5. Your friend Barry. Ben Griffin, top 5 in the world according to Data Golf. He ranks 9th in the OWGR. So, yeah, got give dues its dues. He's had a fantastic year, Ben Griffin. Come out of the woodwork completely. Russell Henley ranks 6, Xander 7, Bryson 8, JJ Spawn 9, and as I mentioned earlier, Fitzpatrick at 10, Data Golf rankings. There are, I think they're playing that hit and giggle in a couple of weeks in the Bahamas, so some of that will change potentially, but yeah, comparing one against the other and, you know, this whole situation with Liv and how that might change in the future. I think it'd be good to have someone like Stenson back on the DP World Tour. It just adds another storyline to everything.
Yep. Do you know what? Here's a conspiracy theory. He was the captain beforehand. Luke Donalds is still sitting on the fence. Stenson just pays his fines. Then we're going to have the Ryder Cup in Adair Manor without a captain at the helm right now. Will they welcome him back in as captain for that?
Certainly gets his name in the equation. It would be remiss of us not to discuss who got promoted from the DP World Tour to the PGA Tour. Penge, Laurie Kanter, we were talking off mic. What a year Kanter's had. He's gone all the way up to second place. And a few weeks ago, we were saying, would Kanter actually hold on? Because I think he was towards 8th, 9th position. So Kanter at 2.
He turned on the afterburners. It's very impressive.
Absolutely. Christopher Rattan at 3. Was it Rattan? Clearly, whatever way I say it, I'll be wrong. Adrien Sadier at 4. Alex Noren. John Parry. Played all right last week with your money on him, didn't he, Barry? But he's solid in 6.
Yeah. I think, yeah, maybe just the whole focus on getting the card thing took him away in the weekend. But, yeah, a bang for my buck or a sweat for my money.
How Tong Lee. Yeah. Keita Nakajima. Rasmus Nygaard Pettersson got in at number 9 with that amazing finish. Jordan Smith at 10. Smith's playing PGA Tour. Now, I think it's going to be hilarious next year because you're going to have all of these American-based podcasts absolutely drooling over Jordan Smith's tee to green numbers. And he's going to, you know, this guy from the UK, his tee to green game is this like. And then they'll keep watching and watching and watching and watching. And then this Jordan Smith can't putt.
There's nothing wrong with his putting stroke that I can see. The thing is, maybe all Jordan Smith needs is to get to Bermuda greens. Let's see. I'm interested to find out.
Yeah, I'm interested to find out. And you know, there's names in there that I think can perform next year. I'd be interested to see how Nakajima goes. I think the guy's got a very high ceiling, and there's a lot of potential there. Marco Penge we've discussed a number of times, and I think there's a number of courses that he will find to his liking. John Parry's going to be rather limited in terms of how and where he's going to perform, but some of the shorter, more plotter-style tracks he might do well on. So, yeah, as ever, it's going to be an interesting watch. I just hope some of these guys get a chance to play, because we saw last year that a number of the guys towards the latter end of those 10 were struggling to get a start on quite a lot of tournaments and sitting there with the alternates.
It's not quite the present that you're the rewards you think you're getting. It's like, oh, you've got a PGA Tour card and they're brilliant. I'm going to play loads. And like, no,
you're
sitting there on the list every week just hoping for a few dropouts.
Well, you're in the same category as KFT.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jordan Smith won't be starting that many up front, I would have thought. Especially now that they've actually dropped the century and the first event is the Sony Open. So you're going to get a number of elites that fill that field.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have done necessarily.
No, and I guess some of these guys will bite the bullet and will just stay over and play some of the Middle East events over on the DP World Tour to begin with, just in recognition of the fact that it's, you know, it's less worth their time to go out and play that at the start of the year.
Yeah,
bide their time a little bit and join, you know, kind of February, March time maybe.
Do you, this might be a question I might be trapping you both. Do you know if they can go off and play a KFT week if they're, if they know they're not going to get a start? Let's say they're 28th on the waiting list or the access list for a tournament, and they make a decision, I'm going to go try the KFT this week. Do you know if what status they have there? Anybody tweet would be helpful. It's just, it's hard to understand this. I mean, even the broadcast on the GP World Tour was not fully keeping up with the movements of who's in and out for the 10 cards last week. So the system's, I suppose, necessarily complex, but to the detriment of it,
yeah,
both on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour.
No, I agree.
In answer to your question, it wouldn't be a conventional route, but I don't think I can recall one of the 10 DP World Tour players playing an off week on the KFT. I might be wrong.
Mm.
I just wanted to highlight something as well that you highlighted to me a couple of weeks, Barry, ago. It used to be on the PGA Tour that if you won one of these full series events, you got a invite to the Masters for 2026, but that isn't the case this year. They reneged the full series winners rights to play the Masters next year, and they've replaced that with a exemption list of national opens. So Genesis Scottish Open was won by Chris Gotterup. He was the first to get this exemption. The Open d'Espagne, Marco Penge. Japan Open, wait for it, Naoyuki Kataoka. He won the Japan Open. He also ranks 500th in the world rankings, by the way. And then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, Tom McKibben won the Hong Kong Open.
Yeah.
So there now are two of those exemptions left. Australian Open in a couple of weeks, which I believe Rory is playing. Clearly, he will be playing the Masters. And also the South African Open Championship, which, is it this side of Christmas? I would assume it is.
SA opens New Year, I think. I think it's February, March time.
So those are the two exemptions that are left. Because that gets DP World Tour points, doesn't it? South African Open.
February 26th next year, Stellenbosch.
Right. So winners of those two tournaments that aren't already exempt will be playing the 26 Masters. I thought I'd get that out there because I only just clocked it a couple of weeks ago because Barry mentioned it to me. Any other business, or should we move on to the last PGA Tour event of the year, the RSM Classic?
We haven't talked about the PGA Tour event last week, I guess.
Oh, do we have to?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed watching that. The wind was fantastic.
Howling, yeah.
And Shank's shots where he's hitting it like 4 inches off the ground. That's just, like, that's so good to see.
Mm. Yeah.
Adam Shank wins his first PGA Tour title. Wow. That, you've got to say, that event does pull together the most incredible results year in, year out. When it comes to outsiders. Although, I will say, Adam Schenk, who I had no clue would win, was actually in the top 25 of my strokes gained current form stats. That was his first win on the PGA Tour in his 240th event. So congrats to Adam Schenk, who now has a 2-year exemption, meaning he'll be playing PGA Tour for 26 and 27 guaranteed. Those conditions were super gnarly, weren't they? 69, 65, 67 on Saturday, which in gusting 40-mile-an-hour winds is some score. 71 on Sunday to get the job done by 2.
I really enjoyed. I watched a lot of Sunday in particular. I had the time to do it and a hangover to help me do it. So it was very entertaining. That was great. So more wind. I mean, just bring, put money into wind machines for the PGA Tour and just like blast these lads off the courses and see them make shots and really show their talent. Because I could tell you, it is not easy to hit the ball as low as Schenk was doing. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I did notice my post-it note of doom player, Alex Smalley, bogeying the last just to make sure he didn't win.
Yes, he was right up there, wasn't he?
That's what I took from that.
Yeah, we had Seamus, didn't we, Barry? And
God.
Yeah, I didn't back Seamus.
Oh, did you not?
No.
Only you, Paul.
It was just me. I assumed you were on him last week.
When he finishes top five this week, Paul, that'll be just double. Yeah, that'll be the double punch in the guts that you you deserve.
Yeah, I know it was tough, but he bogeyed four of the last five holes to finish 11th in the end. Having been, what did he? I think he got to one off the lead before that. So, yeah. Anyway, yes, that's the way the game goes, isn't it?
Takumi Kanaya was T3 for Barry.
Yeah, well done, bro.
With our old friend, and not an old friend, but I keep mentioning Frankie Sapan. Where does he come from? Literally, left field, miscut, and then he all of a sudden you get third place.
Mm.
He's some putter, is Mr. Sapan. Right, we've got a lot of stuff in terms of final positions on the PGA Tour full series to fight over this week. I've got to say, for a RSM Classic, which can be particularly well attended, I didn't think this year's field was very good. You got Harris. No. Harris English is 11th in the world, and then we're struggling from that point.
But there's no Masters invite, right? This is
true. Still,
this is not like some weird exemption or anything. No, okay, Grant. So then that explains it, right? You don't get the.
But you got Ben Griffin. Lives in St. Simon's Island, not playing. There's various different names that normally play that have decided they're just not going to bother this year. Maybe they're tired or whatever. Maybe it's the fact they don't want to play wiffle ball. I don't know. It's a bit of a weaker field this year. Denny McCarthy's coming out of semi-retirement, though, because he never plays any of the full series stuff. He's playing this week. Daniel Berger. He's popping out. Berger's playing for a Masters invite, effectively, although it makes you wonder why he hasn't played anything up to this point. He's 53rd in the official world golf rankings. And this is the first event he's played of the fall, I believe. JT Poston, Chris Kirk, these are all people that kind of live around Sea Island or in Georgia, and they come and play this. Tom Hoagie, Bud Cawley, Siwoo Kim, he's playing. He's 66th in the world. So hoping, I suppose, a win this week would get him into that top 50 for a Masters spot. Andrew Novak, another Sea Island Mafia guy, he's playing. So, I mean, there's some good names, but not quite as deep. One thing to note, and I think is worthy of noting, Jake Knapp plays this week. So with what Knapp's been going through, it's good to see Knapp back. He actually ranks 59th in the FedEx Cup. So he's just holding on by two spots to one of these Aon signature event spots for California next year.
Yeah, Knapp's pulled out overnight by the looks of it.
So, has Knapp gone as well? So Knapp's gone and Kevin Yu went yesterday as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah,
now, those are guys that are ranked 59th and 60th in that particular race. So that opens the door for players like Echeverria, Patrick Rogers, what could go wrong there? Joe Highsmith, Stefan Jaeger, even Adam Schenk to potentially bust into that 51 to 60 spot in the FedEx Cup fall. Interesting. Now, this event is played over two courses. It's a full 156 player field, where most of the events we've been seeing have been 120. We've got the Seaside course, which is the host course, 54 holes there. And then across Thursday or Friday, they will play one round at the Plantation course, which is just kind of over the road. The Seaside course is a par 70. It's actually getting a Davis Love renovation next year, but it still, as is, 7,200 square feet. Greens, which are chunky for a 7,000 yard par 70. They feature Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. And on top of that, the plantation course, that plays as a par 72. That is 7,060 yards in length, which is really short for a 72. This is the course that they take apart. Agronomy is fairly interesting here. Platinum Paspalum, in terms of the fairways. Tiff Tough Bermuda Grass Rough and Tiff Eagle Bermuda Grass Greens. They are a lot smaller, the greens. 6,100 square feet on average. But a 7,060-yard par 72. If the wind is not blowing, you can get ridiculously low scores here. You know, 62s, 61s. They're up on offer around plantation. As ever, and we say this pretty much, Paul will say this across all of the sea coastal events that he gets on the DP World Tour, and it's exactly the same on the limited coastal events on the mainland American side of things. Scoring is dictated by the weather. And from what I was seeing yesterday, it looks warm, considerably warmer than last year. I mean, last year, it was 15 to 17 degrees Celsius here, which was 59 to 63 Fahrenheit. This year, we are seeing 23 to 26 degrees Celsius. Very nice for the end of November. 73 to 79 degrees Fahrenheit. I said to my missus, it wouldn't be a bad place to actually go and live if you could afford it. I wouldn't mind 26 degrees Celsius in the middle of November. I could cope with that. Clearly, I would have thought there's some kind of tax regime benefits there as well, because all these pro golfers seem to live there.
It's popular,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I think scoring. Now, last year, this was won by our old friend Maverick McNealy, who won his maiden PGA Tour title, who doesn't defend this week, which I think is rather poor show.
Wife's just had a baby, I think.
So. Oh, there you go. Well, maybe he's got a valid excuse. I must say, it was in all of the PR building up that he was going to defend. So, right, that's good. I hope things are good in the McNealy household on that basis. He won at 16 under. Ludwig, when he won the year before that, his first maiden PGA Tour, Aubert, 29 under par. Wow. Now, I think he won by six or something ridiculous, but even there, 23s, 22 under pars were getting you T2, T3. I think we're going to see that kind of scoring this year. I wouldn't be surprised if 23, 24 under par gets the job done this week. I think it's going to be birdie city because the weather looks so calm and so warm. The only real wind I'm seeing is Saturday. For the morning starters, looks like it's gusting up to 20 mile an hour from the southwest, and then in the afternoon it starts to calm down 10 to 15. So it might take the brakes off a little bit on the low scoring, but not by a great deal. The other 3 days look pretty calm. Plethora of different winners. McNealy, Oberg, Adam Fence, and he won 150-1 in 2022. Talor Gooch, now of Liv. Robert Streb's a two-time winner here. This is literally the Streb Classic, isn't it? He loves this course. Tyler Duncan won his maiden title here. And then you go back to 2018. Charles Howell III won here. I think his last win previous to that was 6.5 years. So there seems to be very little rhyme or reason. Although I will say, I think I've put here that it's something like 9 of the last 11 are maiden PGA Tour titleists. So if you're looking for a maiden winner, it's not a bad spot here. I don't mind the tournament. I think it's quite good, especially if you can get someone in the mix. Interesting to see that our old mucker, Kevin Kisner's playing this week.
Go good for kids. Got to start.
Got to start. I've been really, really, really straight as a die this week. I've got 3 non-winners and a winner on the PGA Tour rota. It's your typical RSM Classic betting heat where the bookmakers don't really know who the favourite is. Clearly, if Ben Griffin had been playing his local event, he would be sort of single digit or at least very low, what, 10-11 to 1 favourite?
Yeah, I get that.
That was what he was when he won a couple of weeks ago at the WWT. He played that because he's basically sponsored by WWT, so kind of had to, but he's not playing this week. So you've got this pretty mixed up betting heat. Not many of the bookmakers know who the genuine favourite is. You can mix it up. I think in general, it looks like it's Harris English at 20-1. Which would make work sense from a world golf ranking and Ryder Cup perspective. Then you've got literally the likes of Harman, Thorbjørnsen, Siwoo Kim, JT Poston all around this court, 25-1, 22-1 mark. One thing I did notice, bearing in mind as well with this, that only 3 of the 4 rounds, I think this is the case, only 3 of the 4 rounds are captured on the strokes gained rankings. Might be wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
It looks like you've got to be a decent putter to get this done. So I'm looking at the stats here. 56% tee to green, 46% with the putter. Now, that's pretty high from a putting perspective. And Gooch, Svensson, Obea and McNealy all gained a minimum of just around a stroke per round with the putter. And that was kind of the reason why I didn't go with Rico Hoey to a certain perspective, because Rico struggles to putt neutrally, let alone positively. Although if he had a real tee to green week, could Hoey win? Potentially. But Gooch gained 5, Svensson gained 9, Oberg gained 5, and McNealy last year gained 3.7 with the putter across those 54 holes on the Seaside course. So I think you've got to be able to putt on Bermuda grass. I've really just jammed them in. 25-1, 35-1. I thought I'd get bigger on some of them, but I didn't. I certainly thought I'd get bigger on my last one, but his price was slashed as soon as the first odds came out. I've got 240-1 chances. None of them are overly creative. Thorbjørnsen, I think, is due to win. He's been very, very popular all year. And at a tournament where Gooch, Svensson, Oberg and McNealy have won the last 4 as Tour Maidens, I don't think there are many better in this field in terms of non-winners than Thorbjørnsen, who I believe finished in the top 8 here last year. He was 8th 12 months ago. That was in the first 36 holes here last year were really windy, like gusting 30, 35. I think these calm conditions where scoring is going to be lower will suit Thorbjørnsen far more than when it's blowing a hoolie. So I've gone 3 points each way, 25-1 with Ladbrokes, who are 8 places each way on Michael Thorbjørnsen. Is there anyone up in the... I mean, I know for a fact it doesn't tend to be you guys' most favourite part of the betting board. Is there anyone sub 33-1 that you guys are backing this week?
Not my first one's 40, and my first one's shared with one of yours, actually, and then the rest of mine are all longer.
Oh, Paul, you sound like such a Barry. Just copying. Nah, I'm nowhere near the top of the board.
I've got a player as a long shot that I would have liked to have. I don't know why I didn't, to be honest, but there's one that I really think could go well this week, a big, big 200 to 1 plus odds, who, if you don't mention Barry, I certainly will. I don't know who you put up, but I wouldn't be surprised if you actually mentioned this name later on in your particular selections. No pressure. The other one I like, to be fair, they're all short. I've gone 2 points each way, 35 to 1 with Bet365, 8 places each way via their each way extra facility, which again is offering up to 12 places this week. I've gone for Pearson Coody. Now, that's a player I know, Paul, that you've been interested in over the... for quite a while now, 18 months he's been sort of flicking around on the PGA Tour.
Mm. Yeah.
If Teal Bjornsson does his usual, where lots of people are on him and he shoots 79 in the first round, let's be frank, he has got form on that, Teal Bjornsson. Or he pulls out with some kind of vague injury. Coody's the kind that you wouldn't back, and then when he does win his maiden title, you go, why the hell did I back Pearson Coody? Because he's in some decent nick. Across my eight event strokes gained current form metric, he's fifth in this field in the top five. Three Korn Ferry Tour wins in his career. He's not scared of winning. And this year he's landed seven top tens on the Korn Ferry. But he's 110th in the FedEx Full Series, because he's played enough PGA Tour events, over the Korn Ferry events he's played. And he's finished quite highly in a number of them, where he's actually got a real shot here. Which, you think about it, would be mighty impressive. He's been a Korn Ferry regular, and to get into the PGA Tour top 100 when he hasn't even played a full schedule. He's 110th in the standings right now. Big week this week, he could literally get a full card for next year. So he's already in the PGA Tour next year. But as Barry was saying earlier, status and Korn Ferry, you're not going to get the pick of where you want to play. Big week this week, all of a sudden, he's got total and utter control of what tournaments he plays next year, which aren't non-signature events. That's a big carrot. Mm. So I think Coody could go really, really well. He was third at the 3M Open in July, and he was also third at the Bank of Utah Championship last month. So in these kind of weak affairs, Coody can mix it. So those are my two. Do you want to take us through your 40-1 selection, Paul?
Yeah, I can do. It's the same as one of yours, so I might be treading on your toes a little bit, but if you can supplement it with... probably far more background than I can, but the one I've backed at that level is Vince Whaley at 40-1, and much in the same way that you've kind of plucked him out for your preview as well. He keeps popping up in a lot of decent rounds lately, which always catches the eye. Third at the Sanders and Farms, third at the Bermuda last week, eighth here last year, led into the final day last year. 13th the year before. So it does like the course, does like the way this event plays out across the two tracks, and seems to perform here. Seems to perform at this time of the year as well. So a lot is kind of converging for Vince Whaley. Stats are patchy this time of the year. We know there's not strokes gained captured for a lot of the events, or just generally the stats aren't great, but from what you can glean reading between the lines, it seems like he's putting well. He performs well on Bermuda from the stats that you collate over the course of the years for the predictor model. He went to college at Georgia Tech as well. Lives in Georgia now, so yeah. There's some local links there as well. So yeah, I like Vince Whaley. I'm sure you've got more to add, but I think he's a good pick this week.
There have been Georgia kind of link winners of this. The very first winner here, we are actually on him. That shows you how ancient we are. 2013, Heath Slocum. 50-1 I was on him that week. Chris Kirk, Kevin Kisner. Charles Howe. Augusta. There are a lot of Georgia-based players that come down here and win this. I tell you what you haven't had so far is actually someone that lives on St. Simon's Island or Sea Island that wins it.
It's this kind entertaining of entertaining every well, night. popping another cork on a bottle of wine. And you're like, oh, God, I've got to play tomorrow at 8 a.m.
They're playing wiffle ball, mate.
Wiffle ball to the early hours.
It's wiffle ball canapes and a glass of champers, isn't it? Talking about how much money they raise for charity. So they don't concentrate on the golf. And then you get someone with some kind of local ties that just comes in and takes it out. Say that, Maverick Manili lives in Las Vegas in California, and so it doesn't happen every year. But there is a bias towards players from southern states taking this out. So Whaley does fit that narrative too. He's a real late bloomer as well, relatively. He's 30. He's always been one of those guys that's kind of struggling, journeyman kind of player that's struggling to keep a status. And he did it last year by finishing fantastically well in the fall across Bermuda and here. He's already got his card. So, yeah, I do like Whaley. He's got a lot to play for this week. He's safe as well. So he can literally just relax and try and get his first PGA Tour win or try and get into this Aon 51-60 spot. So, yeah, Whaley, I'm on 1.5 points each way. I put that on with BetMGM, 6 places each way. All of his eight place prices were ridiculously short compared to that. So I got on with BetMGM, 6 places each way on Vince Whaley. Again, I will put a link in the podcast description to BetMGM's Bet 10, get 40 in free bets offer. Last one, I got 40-1 Ball Sports, 10 places each way. I thought I'd get far higher. The first price I saw on this individual player was 60-1 on first show, and that lasted, I don't know, what, 5 minutes? Paul says he will never back him ever again after his disgustingly bad display on the last few holes at Bermuda. I've gone with Seamus Power. He just has to play well this week because he's at 129. So he's 4 spots out of conditional status. He's just got to keep going. Otherwise, you might be seeing Seamus a lot more on the DP World Tour next year.
Yeah, wouldn't mind that.
He needs a high result as well. I think I read like top few anyway, at the very least.
I would assume he needs a top finish to get to top 100 for full playing privileges. But don't forget about 101, 125 conditional.
Yeah.
He's at 129. So let's be frank. He to guarantee a decent 125, top 120, I expect he'd need something at least similar to what he got last week, which was top 12, top 11, something like that. He's got to play well. I took all the places. I took 10 places on Boyles with Seamus Power. But if you remember when he did win the first event, which is a Bermuda Championship winner, that was his second win on the tour. So these short coastal courses are right up his alley. He was one of these ones like a Matt Kuchar went 9th, 7th, 5th, 3rd win. He does seem to need to build his confidence up. So, yeah, I'm on Power. Would have liked a bigger price, but I'm on at 40-1. I went 1.25 points each way on both Whaley and Power. Now, I have a player I'm going to mention right out in the weeds, but I'm going to just hand it over to you two now, because I've spoken so much this podcast, I thought the listeners are bored senseless with my voice. So, who are you up with, Barry? Who are you tipping?
I'm going to stick with... I'll just kind of put what I earned back on Kanaya last week and put a bit of that on him this week, see if he can keep it lit. I don't love that he's in 99th. I think that makes it's almost like playing for a draw in football. like makes it hard for him to go and win if he just knew he needed a better result rather than like, let's say tied 37th or whatever he needs to get to or something around that. It's going to make it a bit of a messy week in his head. So then again, the guy earned me some money last week, so he gets a bet. And he's the shortest. I'm going to, in honor of your kind of team no put, Steve, I'm going to go for two who are just like blind when it comes to putting.
Oh, no, not Rico Hoey.
No. So, and both of them really just, there's nothing else. It's just, they need a win. That's it, to get their full card next year. And let alone that, just to get in and get the top 125.
This
so,
interesting.
First is, the rationale behind these guys, I wanted them both to be kind of elite strokes gained approach. Greens and reg merchants. And so that's, and just hope they catch fire with the putter this week. So first is Grayson Sigg. Seen him pop up on leaderboards a bit recently, and he's from Georgia. I'll say it in the molasses way rather than the Bamford way. And so let's see if he can... Jar Jar Binks, yeah. So let's just see if he can merge those two things together, those few factors together into a win. Not from Sea Island, from Augusta, so... Probably gone on holidays there as a kid and has some warm memories there and converts it into a win. And I have one other who is, do you want me to go into it or it's a bit further out?
No, go into it. Come on.
Ben Coles.
Well, I've been sniffing around him for weeks. He's done absolutely zilch. So this could be the week.
Please don't copy my bet then. I might actually have a winner. Anyway, just strokes gained approach is, what is he, ninth on tour? Yeah, so absolutely. Will just give himself a whole bunch of opportunities with the wind not blowing this week. But needs to figure out what to do with the short stick because he's 169th for putting. So it's a punt on him finding a putter this week. He needs a result to get anything for next year. He's 147th in the fall rankings. No career wins. He ticks that box as well there, Steve. So, but not from the local area. He's from Dallas, Texas.
Grayson Sigg is a St. Simon Islands resident, just to get that out there. So he literally lives here. So, yeah, get that. And he's in dire need of a result.
Oh, that's not good. Okay. Well, maybe.
Well, no.
Maybe it's the first.
These guys
to break
do place. They just no one's won. I mean, Sigg's, I think, finished in the top 10 here before. But yeah, he's going to have to stay off the booze.
That's or the wiffle board or the wiffle courts or whatever well, they listen, are. Yeah,
you probably find that Grayson's actually teetotal. But yeah. There seems to be a lot of social gatherings during this tournament. Let's put it that way.
If I had a house there, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
I'd be renting mine out.
There's no blame on any of my pros if I see them looking a bit hungover on any of the mornings. It's like, fair play to you. You earned the right to be there. Go for it.
Paul, who else have you putting up?
Yeah, I've got a couple of mid-range players. Michael Brennan, I've backed at 55s. I guess looking at the Ludvig Åberg win and the way that a quality player that was coming through the ranks just took the field apart a couple of years back, it made me think that if Michael Brennan is as good as some people seem to think he is, then he's worth taking a chance on. I mean, this guy's won four times at all levels since the start of August, so he's in that winning mentality. Massively impressive when he won in Utah last month by four strokes. So he doesn't fit your narrative about non-winners on tour, but equally he could be a player that's just going to move quickly through the ranks and quickly through the world ranking levels over the next few weeks and months. And be a real contender. We'll see, but there's certainly a lot of hype about him. 18th last week in windy conditions. I think this should be far more to his liking, given the conditions are likely to be far more scorable and far more kind of lower level golf in that respect. So first look at the course, as we know, but as I say, if he is the kind of quality player that we think he may be, then 55-1 could be a steal when we do the post mortem on this. The other one, similar kind of price, Eric Cole, 60-1. I know Barry's been on Cole a few times this year. He certainly does fit the non-winner narrative. Yet he's won, what, over 50 times, I think, on the minor leagues over the course of the years. So still to break through on the PGA Tour at this level, of course, but has a lot of winning memories in his mind to draw back on should he find himself in the mix this week. Poor season overall. Top 10s more recently, though, Sanderson Farms and also at the WWT Championship. And that's got him well inside the top 100. So again, he can just he can play with a level of freedom this year. The motivation for him, of course, has just got to be that win, to win that title with his card sewn up. 15th last year, 3rd in 2023. I think that 2023 renewal could be a better proxy for what will happen this week than last year. As Steve said a few moments ago, there was a bit more wind around last year, which won't be the case as much this year. He shot 61 in the third round back in 2023, so knows how to take this course apart in very calm conditions. I've got one other at 350-1.
350?
Awesome, Paul. Was that 351 two places, is it? Or
No. Well, you are having to go bog standard places. You're going to have to dip down a little bit if you want the eights. But
okay.
I'll take you through it, and then because I know you guys have got some longer prices as well. It actually opened at 500-1, so there has been some sneaky money for Paul Peterson. But 350.
Oh, he lives on the island, does Paul Peterson?
He does live on St. Simon's Island, Steve. Yeah. Right, yeah. Short, accurate saw. I think he should be suited by this. He was 25th here last year, and hasn't won on the PGA Tour, but did win on the old European Tour back in the day at the Czech Republic. I remember him beating Thomas Peters way back in 2016 on a course that shouldn't have really suited him back then. Won on the Corn Ferry Tour last September as well. 144th in the full rankings coming into this. So he fits that narrative of needing something big here this week. Second at the ISCO Championship back in July. So has had a decent finish this year. And the odd sign of life since then. Eighth after round one at the Wyndham. Fourth after round one in Utah as well. So the odd sparky round. Bit of a leap of faith, but let's go out with a bang and get a decent priced place, or even a decent price winner on the final event. That'd be nice.
Let's have turkey instead of chicken in the Williams household this Christmas.
Absolutely,
come on.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Go for the premium Christmas crackers rather than the Tesco value ones. but that's my lot, yeah. Peterson, Cole, Michael Brennan and Vince Whaley, my four.
There's a guy here, 275-1 with Bet365 currently, five places each way. He finished in the top 10 last week. He's been found out in the extended markets, where I'm seeing him as low as 150 with Boyle Sports, 10 places each way. I found a price here, Betfred, 175-1, eight places each way via their extended places market. He's finished second here in the past and sixth. And he is a dead man in terms of the FedEx Cup fall. He just literally needs to play outstandingly well this week. Camilo Villegas. That's the one I'd have put in at massive odds. I believe I don't think it was last year, it was the year before, and that's why he's still playing regularly on the PGA Tour. He finished second at the WWT and then won Bermuda. So when he does find something, and it's very rare, he literally can just go bang, bang.
Yep.
Lot to play for this week, Camilo. So, yeah, I don't think that's a bad bet.
Yeah, he's the kind to look for in the first round leader markets. The problem this week is you've got it spread across two courses, of course. So a lot of the bookies don't bother putting a market up, and you've only got half the field in them. So, but yeah, if he's a sensible price and you manage to find a market for one of the courses, wherever he gets drawn on Thursday, then given he did play well last week, didn't he?
He played very well, yeah. Just kept creeping up that leaderboard.
Could get off to a flyer, we'll see.
Anything to add, gents, before we wish our intrepid listeners an excellent festive period and Happy New Year, even though we're recording this on the 18th of November?
In the interest of like one upping you guys, I have to go for somebody longer.
Oh my God. Even longer? Oh, wow.
Let's
keep scrolling.
And just because you mentioned him earlier, and it would just blow my head off if it didn't work, he has had one top 10 this year. He's coming off an extended break, but got to give one little punt on Kiz. I can get him at 375 to 112 places on Skybet.
I'd definitely take all the places.
I am taking all the places rather than the 475 to 108 places. I think I'll take the chop of 100 to 1.
He is 600 to 1 with Spreadex 6 places each way, if you want to go down that route, although I wouldn't recommend it.
Take the places. You never know.
With Special K, do you?
All I want is a place at that. Those are sort of odds.
There are some great names in this. You know, your Hadleys, your Streelmans, your Troy Merritts. To get the 156, they've really literally had to put, you know, Matt Neesmith, Robbie Shelton. There's a lot of players in this that don't ordinarily play.
Yeah.
Let's hope it... Oh, even Brendan Todd's putting in an appearance.
Yeah, I saw that. Perhaps Omar Urest is sitting there as one of the reserves waiting for.
He's on speed dial when Davis Love pulls out Wednesday, Thursday morning, because he's had a couple of sherbets too many after the wiffle ball.
vicious rumours.
Well, I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best luck, guys.
You too, boys.
Best luck to listeners. It is the last show of 2025. We will be back. I think, I don't know. Will it be the Sony Open? I suppose it will be in 2026.
Yeah. We've got the Sony Open and we've got the Dubai Invitational that week as well. Before we close, I just wanted to say it over here in the UK, it is safer gambling week this week. So there are plenty of resources on our site and you'll see dotted around social media and on the internet of safer gambling messaging and resources. So please do take the time to click through and read and understand that. Very good work that they do each year. So well worth a few moments of your time with that.
Take that on board. And let's just say thank you to everyone that's listened, everyone that's supported us, everyone that sent messages, everyone that's liked the YouTube content. Whatever you've done to support Golf Betting System podcast this year, thank you very much. I hope you have a fantastic festive period. I hope you have a great new year. And for those just thinking, why aren't you covering the sort of the late results, the late tournaments on the DP World Tour? We always take December off because we just can't cope anymore, Paul. Doing this 12 months a year, I think, would turn you into some kind of blubber. So we have a 5 or 6 week period with no golf betting. If there are any occasional bets that we put on, I'm sure we'll tweet them out there. But enjoy your festive period, enjoy your new year, and we will see you again, fresh-faced, bushy-tailed and energised in 2026. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. with all the stats and the tips and so much more, 'cause it's the golf betting system, the golf